Now, you know, when you read the Bible, it's not a good thing to read for content. Do you know that? You know, to just get through and to understand, you know, what is being said. The real value is when you read what it says and then you ponder, Lord, what does that have to do with me? What do you want to say to me in this, Lord? And that's what we're going to do today. Luke chapter 18, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that's our focus for today. Encouragement. You know, we all need encouragement. One of the essentials in raising kids is to give them encouragement. They need encouragement to be successful in school, to be successful in life. The best employees are the ones who receive encouragement as they work every day. The best relationships are those that possess mutual encouragement. Encouragement is critical in life. God knows it. He provides it. His word is encouragement for living. That's what this is. It's to gain courage to be able to put one foot in front of the next, in front of the next, and to live life abundantly. Here's what the Bible says about itself. I got it on the top of your bulletin. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. They give us hope. The scriptures, the Bible gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at that waiting patiently part. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not very patient. But God blesses patience and persistence, and that's what we're going to look at today. This parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18 is a parable of contrast. It is saying God is not like that judge. You did get that right. God is not like that judge who wouldn't give in, who wouldn't answer until the persistence came through. He tells this parable and tells us in the very first verse why he tells it. Look at it again. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Which is the title of today's message. Don't give up. It's so easy to want to give up. And what Jesus is saying here is don't give up. Don't give up. Pray and don't give up. Don't give up. Instead, look up. We might say. Don't give up. Look up. The story is really rather humorous. There's two different characters, a powerful judge and a powerless widow. Jesus often chose that kind of person, a rascal, to make a point. I think for shock value. In verse 2, we have a description of the judge. He says about the judge, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Well, boy, that's quite a character reference. He doesn't care about God, doesn't care about men. The guy didn't give a hoot about anybody. He was hard-boiled, unsympathetic, callous, and along came a widow in distress. In verse 3 it says, there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, we have no clue, no clue what was going on with her. We don't know what her problem was. What we do know is that she was a widow. And in those days, widows had absolutely no rights. If you were a woman, you didn't have any rights. If you were a widow, you definitely didn't have any rights, because a woman had some rights through her husband. But if she didn't have a husband, she was out of luck. She had nothing. In fact, the word widow in the Greek literally means forsaken or left empty. But this woman was no pushover. She had a problem, and she was going to the hard-boiled judge, and he wouldn't give her what she wanted, and we have a battle of wills going on in verses 4 and 5. It says, for some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, even though I don't care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. Now, I imagine the disciples are getting a little humor out of this, seeing this impotent widow intimidating this prestigious judge. She had no weapon but what? Her persistence. She would not give up. She would not shut up. And so the judge gave up. True? Finally, he meets his match and exhausted. He gives in. And the verse goes on, because she keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out in her coming. The word wear me out in Greek literally means to give a black eye, to bruise. I'm afraid this lady's going to hit me. That's almost what it says. You know, she's so persistent. She keeps coming at me. She won't shut up. I'm afraid pretty soon she's going to start swinging. And so I'll give in. So, is that what God is saying? This is how you've got to treat God, to wear him down with your prayers. I'm just going to wear him down. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, until finally God says, for peace and quiet, just to get you off my back, I'll answer your prayer. Answer, no. This is a comparison by contrast. He says this, get this, if a heartless judge will help out, how much more can we count on a God who loves us to help us out? Do you get that? How much more will a God, a powerful God who loves you, will he help you? Verse 7, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get their justice and get it quickly. You do get the point of the story. The point of the story is that God is eager, eager to answer your prayers. God is eager to answer your prayers. You don't have to beg. You don't have to borrow. You don't have to gripe. You don't have to complain. You don't have to pester. He's saying, I'm not like that judge. That's not me. That's not a description of me. I'm eager to answer your prayer. So the question becomes, because he's already told us the point of the parable, and the point of the parable is don't give up. Pray and don't give up. And so what he is emphasizing here is the persistence. Why be persistent? How come my prayers aren't coming immediately? Those answers aren't coming immediately. Why should I keep on praying when the answers don't come in my timetable? Well, there are four reasons, I believe, that God gives to us on why we need to keep praying when there's no answer. Four things that persistent praying does. You see, God is working. All things work together for good with those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so even in the delay between my prayer and God's answer, God is doing something. God is working in me. Point number one, persistent praying helps me focus on God. It helps me focus on God. Do you get that? Not to remind God, but to remind me where my source is. God wants me to remember that He alone is the source and the answer to my prayer. Philippians chapter 4, and my God will meet all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Do you see the important words there? My God will meet all my needs. And with my consistent and persistent praying, I am reminding myself where my answer is, where my strength is, where my source is. We constantly are reminded that He is the source of our needs, to look to Him. When we have to pray about something over and over, who do we look to when we do that? We look to the Lord. We are continually reminding ourselves and affirming that, Lord, You are the source of my need. And that's important because, quite frankly, if we are not persistent in praying, then we are easily distracted to think that our friends are the source of our need, or our family, or our counselors, or our government. They're the source of my fulfilled need. No. Psalm 105 says, look to the Lord, go to Him for help. That's what persistent praying does, is it keeps my focus on God. Secondly, persistent praying clarifies my need. A delayed answer a lot of time gives me time to clarify, what do I really want? What do I really need? You know, most of our prayers are vague, too general. Oh, God, bless me. You do know that there is blessing to be had in hardship, so is that what you're praying for? Lord, give me a tribulation, give me a problem, give me a mountain to climb. Is that what you're saying? You should be specific. Or you may get what you're praying for. You get vague, you pray for get vague, you get specific. Sometimes a blessing isn't a problem. We need to be specific, not be general. Don't be vague. Time gives you time to clarify what you really need, what you really want. There have been times when I've prayed for something, and then after a period of time, I go, no. That's not what I need. It clarifies my life, clarifies my need. Zechariah chapter 13 says this, I will test them as gold is tested, and then they will pray, and I will answer them. Time separates deep longings from mere whims. Is this an earnest desire, or is this just a passing fad? I prayed for things that they just dissipate after time. It really wasn't what I needed. A delay is not a denial. It's really a test. Let me say that again. A delay is really not denial. It's just a test. Christians are a lot like tea bags. You do know that, right? You don't know what they're like until you drop them in hot water. There was somewhat a delay in reaction, but that's okay. It's true, isn't it? That's when we test, do you really believe what you say you believe? When you're put in hot water, do you persist? That's when what's inside really comes out. God delays the answers in a way to test us. Do you really want it? It's not that He doesn't want to give it to you. He wants to know if that's a real need for you. If that's a real desire of your heart. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. Notice the all your heart. There's a heart issue going on in here. Oh God, please give this to me, maybe. half-hearted prayers. He says, seek for me with all your heart. He wants to know if we really, really need it, really want it for a character, for a soul, for a life. Persistent praying helps me focus on God, and it helps clarify my need. Thirdly, persistent praying prepares me for an answer. Delay prepares me for the answer. You do know that God usually wants to do more than you are praying for? You do know that God usually wants to do more than you are praying for? You're praying for something, and God wants to do something bigger. He wants to do it greater. He wants to do it more. Ephesians chapter 3 says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do what? Far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream, or infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. God wants to do it bigger, wants to do it better. Sometimes we ask for a small blessing and God denies it. Why? Because he wants to give a bigger one. He wants to do it greater. He needs time to get you ready for it. I'm thankful that some of my prayers haven't been answered in my time. You know, if everything went according to me, if I asked God and he was like a genie in a bottle, because that's the way some people, you know, treat God in prayer, is that he's like a genie to give him, you know, to give me every wish I want. Well, if he did that, then guess who would be God? Moi. And I have shared with you there's a way that seems right to a man and leads to death. Wouldn't be good if I got everything I wanted in the way that I wanted it. Wouldn't be good for you either. Admit it. And so what God does is he prepares me for the real answer. What I really need. What he knows I need. There are changes that God wants to make in me. And there are changes that God wants to make in you. Have you seen the plaque? Maybe some of you even have one. Prayer changes things. Oh, a very famous plaque. You do know that's not true. Prayer changes people. Because that's what God's in the business to do. Changing people. Changing me is what God is interested in. More than he's desiring to change circumstances. He wants to change me. He wants to mold me. He wants to shape me. Wants to, you know, to prepare me for what he wants to do through me. And that's you too. For answered prayer, it's not a matter of what we're waiting on for God. It's a matter of what God is waiting on in us. And sometimes that takes some time. When we're ready, the doors of heaven open up and answers come. Prayer is not some tug of war with God when you're trying to convince him. Our struggle primarily is with ourselves, getting with God's plan. Tony Campolo was in a church in Oregon not too long ago, and he prayed for a man who had cancer. And in the middle of the week, he got a telephone call from the wife, and she said, you know, Pastor, you prayed for my husband. He had cancer. And immediately when Tony heard the word had, he goes, wow, that, it happened. And then she said, he died. And Tony immediately felt terrible, and she continued, you know, sensing that he was feeling bad. She said, don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He was filled with rage. He was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old. He wanted to see his children, his grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed, and he would curse God, literally. The more his anger grew towards God, she told him, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But after you prayed for him, he came home and there was a peace that came over him and a joy that had come over him. And she said, Tony, the last 3 days since that service, have been the best days of our lives. We've sung together, we've laughed together, we've read scripture, we've prayed. Oh, they've been amazing days. And I called to thank you for laying hands on him and praying for healing. And then she said something incredibly profound to him. She said this, she said, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. He wasn't cured, but he was healed. God wants to work a work in us. God delays to help me focus on him. He delays to clarify my request. He delays so that he can prepare me for the answer. And the fourth thing I want to share with you today is persistent praying strengthens my faith. It strengthens me. It strengthens my faith. Prayer goes with faith hand in hand, and faith is like a muscle and grows by being stretched and grows by being stressed. You've never been stretched until you've had to wait. Praying persistently is a faith-building exercise. Waiting tests your faith. A mark of maturity is, how long can you wait? Galatians chapter 6, let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time he will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. He's saying, hang on. Be patient. The harvest is coming. Don't give up. Look up. A woman in Phoenix, she had an opportunity before. She had struggled for years with cancer and had gone through a lengthy regimen and finally had come to the point where her body was cancer-free. She'd been healed. And she had an opportunity before her that she felt strongly that God was leading her to. She knew in her mind that God had provided the opportunity to fly to Indianapolis, Indiana with a physical therapist friend of hers. They were going to attend a workshop on lymphedema, open only to doctors and physical therapists, and she was neither. And she said this, she says, I was healed of my cancer, but I suffered from this condition that caused tremendous swelling in my arm, a result of surgery for cancer. And because my physical therapist knew of the great interest that I had in the subject, she arranged for me to attend with her. And on top of that, every expense would be paid except my plane fare, and I had enough money for my plane fare except for $153.27. I was short that. I eagerly accepted her invitation, started asking God to help provide the money for me to go. I knew from the start it would take a miracle because our budget had been stretched to the limit with our medical bills incurred during the course of my cancer. But it wasn't hard for me to believe in miracles because I was living proof. I'd been healed of cancer. So I just knew that God was going to provide that $153.27. And since she said this, since God had chosen to heal me of cancer, but this condition remained, there must be a reason. Maybe he wanted to use me to help find a cure for the problem, which affects millions of people. Before me was this rare opportunity to research and learn more about the condition from a medical point of view. She was to meet her friend in a half an hour at a travel agency to pay for and pick up her plane ticket. She was driving in her car, and she said this. She said, I glanced in my rearview mirror, and I saw a small black sports car back out, then pull back into its parking place. And as I watched, I backed out again, and I recognized the driver as Beverly Easton, a lady from my church. And I wondered if she was having car trouble when she slowly drove out of the parking lot, circled the restaurant, and pulled back in again. This time, she stopped in the middle of the lot. She got out, and she walked toward my car. Maybe she thinks I'm having car trouble. Beverly stuck her head through an open passenger window. She says, I know you don't know me very well, and I hope you don't think I'm crazy. I'm so embarrassed. Please don't be offended by this. And, of course, her curiosity was piqued. She says, what's the matter, Beverly? And she said, well, several months ago, I felt like God told me to put change in an envelope for you. I just carried around and been adding to it every day until I got the nerve to give it to you, and I hope this isn't insulting to you. Her face flamed red, and she tossed a bulging envelope into the car. She said, I just have to obey God, and then she ran to her car. There was makeup smudges and ink smears covering the once white envelope. And on the front was this gal's name in big letters, and there was a card inside explaining that she didn't know why, but she felt like God was telling her to give her this money. It dated several months earlier. And so with tears in her eyes, she carefully emptied the contents out in the seat and started counting. There were bills of all denominations and a lot of change. She says this, "My prayer was answered by a lady named Beverly and an envelope, because once I counted it, it added up to $153.27. Just at the right time. God's timing was perfect. God's delays are not denials. They are there to focus you on God. They are to clarify your vision. They are there to prepare you for a greater blessing. The longer you wait, the greater the miracle. They are there to strengthen and test and challenge and develop your faith. Jesus concluded this parable by saying in verse 8, "I tell you quickly, he'll see justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Now, I don't know if you noticed when I first read it, that sounds odd. This is an odd way for Jesus to close this. "I tell you quickly, he'll see justice." In other words, God will answer the prayer. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" He was talking about prayer up above. Now all of a sudden, it's like he's switching subjects. He's talking about, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why does he say that? Because faith and prayer go together. Do you have enough faith to not give up? Do you have enough faith to be persistent? Do you have enough faith? This story isn't just about praying persistently. It's about having faith. And why does he mention faith? Because the size of your prayers determine the size of your God. Do you have a big God or a little God? Look at your prayer life. That's the answer. Wait, what are you praying for? Something teeny? Something you could accomplish on your own power? If you have a big God, you've got big prayer requests, big expectations for God. Your heart is open for God to do big things. Anytime there are delays, there are two things going on. Do you know that? God is testing your faith on the one hand, and on the other hand, Satan is contesting your faith. Jesus admired this widow because she refused to give up. She was persistent, tenacious, determined. She believed. She didn't give up. Faith persists. How do you pray persistently? That's what I want to close with today. How do you pray persistently? In Luke 11, you might want to write that down. Luke 11, Jesus told another parable. The purpose of this parable was the same as the one we just looked at. A different parable, same truth. Keep on praying. Don't give up. At the end of the parable, Jesus tells in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says this, "I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And then he goes on. Listen. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more, again with this contrast, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you? It's the key to hanging on. How do you pray persistently? Three things. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. What we want to do sometimes, often, is we run up and we knock on the door and then run away before it opens. Is that what we do? We go to somebody's house, we knock once, and then, oh, rope! Or how many people would you talk to on the phone if you only let it ring once? They didn't pick it up on the first ring. You just hung up. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Not to convince God, not to wear him down, but for your benefit. Daniel Boone was a famous settler in Kentucky. He traveled all over the wilderness. And one day a man asked him, "Have you ever been lost?" Daniel Boone, "Have you ever been lost?" Boone answered, "No, I've never been lost. I've been bewildered sometimes for days and sometimes for up to a week, but I just kept going." Have you ever felt that way? You're bewildered. You don't know what's going on, but you just keep on going. That's what God wants. Your marriage is struggling. You've been praying for it for months, for years. You're ready to throw in the towel, but you keep on going. You can't find the right job, a job that is fulfilling, a job that really utilizes your ability. It's frustrating. You're facing a serious illness. You're stuck at home with diapers all over the house. You feel like the widow, powerless, helpless, hopeless. The point of the story is don't give up. Hang in there. Don't give up. Look up. Because you have a God that is working in your life and will answer your prayer. Expect a miracle. Be persistent. Don't give up. That's what God says to us today. We always ought to pray, always, and never give up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that for us, that we would be persistent like the widow. That we would not give up. Sometimes it seems like our prayers aren't heard, or sometimes it seems like you don't care, and we are tempted to give up, but that is Satan contesting our faith. Help us to remain persistent, Lord, to continually look to you for our need, to continue to come to you day after day after day, which focuses us on you, which focuses our need, which prepares us for the answer, which enables us the ability to grow in our relationship with you. So I pray for that for us, Lord. Thank you for your encouraging word. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.